welcome to Tabletop Game Talk On Topic, a show where we talk about tabletop gaming topics of all kinds. I'm one of your hosts, Kitty.
I'm Sydney.
And I'm Chris. This week we're playing the cliche card and talking about New Year's resolutions. We'll be focusing on gaming resolutions, but we'll throw a few non-gaming ones in there. And we'll take a quick look back at my 10 by 10 from the beginning of the year and see how I did.
But first, a thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jiljam, George Gia, Adam Harrison, the SGC, and Thomas Acciaretti.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
We like when things fall on holidays and we can just, I don't know, milk it, I guess? So Josh is not here. And we've replaced Josh with Sydney. Josh decided to go on a New Year's trip. And we are recording on New Year's Eve, so things are not as easy for him to get back to.
He's time traveling somewhere.
He's time traveling. We are recording early on New Year's Eve. Hopefully, I'll get this edited and out before the ball drops. Otherwise, I might be already sleeping. So, if you're listening to this, though, everything went well.
That's true.
All right. There's a few things, though. This is a new year, so some announcements, some cool things are happening. Number one, and this isn't necessarily a cool thing, but it was a thing I had to change. So our Patreon levels, we used to offer automatic entries in our contest and different numbers of entries based on your different levels. Well, apparently Patreon doesn't like when you do that. So they reached out to me and said, hey, we're going to disable your Patreon account until you fix that. So those are now fixed. We no longer have automatic entries and variable entries when you're doing Patreon. But unofficially, everyone who is a patron is still automatically entered in the contest. But what I am going to do is make it just a single entry. So if you email us with whatever we're doing that month or whatever, you'll get additional entries. But I kind of want to level that out. I completely understand if some people change their pledge levels. No harm to that. And we are thinking about some ways of adding some patron only content that might be in the realm of me rambling for half hour on some weird subject, or maybe we don't typically have outtakes. I think we keep all those in.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do some outtakes, some fun stuff. But we're looking into how we can get some more special content to those people who want to pay for it.
Yeah. And your support is totally appreciated. We're going to keep all your names at the end. So very little changes. Like I said, all I did is remove that line from the patron changes, and then our account got turned back on. So that was great. So we also have some good news and some bad news.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We'll do the bad news first because it's going to sound terrible. Kitty.
It's on me?
Yeah. I don't like breaking bad news. I want to do the good news side.
Okay. We're not going to do Kickstarter episodes anymore.
What?
Okay, my heart's recovering. One sec. So we've been talking to Tom Vassell, and there was a podcast that I was listening to quite a lot, not this year, but last year, called the Dice Tower News Podcast, which did a great job of just kind of like summarizing the industry as a whole. And this year, they've had a hard time kind of finding a host to take over since their regular host retired. So we said, hey, would you be interested in us maybe taking that over? And he come back and said, sure.
Cool.
Yeah, the interview process was really tough. We said, we'll do it. He said, done.
He said, really?
Yeah.
You'll really do it?
Like, you sure? We've had like three people say that. I'm like, no. Honest. We'll be responsible. So I don't know if it'll be this Friday or next Friday that we'll start. It will not be in this feed. It'll be in the Dice Tower news feed. So if you're not subscribed to that, go ahead and subscribe to that. And you will start hearing Kitty and I. So Kitty and I are going to do kind of a duo news thing.
Yep.
So, and the format's a little different than this, obviously. This is we get to talk about whatever we want. That's going to be much more of a kind of a news format, short form, maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And we're really, really excited about it.
But we will still be highlighting those Kickstarters that stand out to us. So don't worry, you won't lose that entirely.
Yep. If you're curious, if you haven't listened to the Dice Tower News before, we're going to modify the format a little bit. But generally, what we're going to do is we're going to cover some headlines at the beginning, some kind of big things that are happening in the industry as a whole. And then we will talk about the hotness list on BGG, why things are on that list, what's going up and down. And basically, that'll be a snapshot each week. Mm-hmm. That actually gives you quite a bit of news right there. Then we will highlight some new releases and upcoming releases. And finally, we will end with Kickstarters, which will be a very abbreviated version of what our Kickstarter show was in the past.
Yep.
So we're really, really looking forward to it. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to go and edit this all out and you never know. But this is the first time it's been announced anywhere. Hopefully Tom doesn't get mad. I think we're okay with doing that. All right. We have an actual topic to talk about, but we're still not there yet. Oh? Yeah. We have to talk about my 10x10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been 1 year, approximately.
Approximately. So it was episode 79 that we did it, my 10x10. So that was, I don't know, I'm going to do math in my head. Let's carry the one. 45 episodes ago?
Whoosh.
Maybe, yeah, 45 episodes ago. It was a little bit after the new year that we did it, I think.
Sure.
79 to 124, is that right? 80, no, 40, yeah.
45. That's exactly 45, yeah. Yeah,
there we go.
Good yeah. job, Matt. Yeah. We can do it.
I shall doubt the math. And 10x10 is 100. But so I re-listened to that episode today. And I'm assuming you guys did not.
Oh, no.
Nope.
No.
Okay. I just didn't even look at the wall with the post-it notes.
Yeah. Well, I did. I've memorized the wall with the post-it notes because it's been the same for the past little while. But that was the very first episode that Kitty and I did an episode by ourselves because, again, Josh has a tendency to do this, doesn't he? It was at the last second that he couldn't make it. So we're like, all right, well, we can do it. And I thought it was a really good episode. I was quite enthralled by it. We have some evergreen content out there.
We really like ourselves.
We just love hearing ourselves talk.
That's why you got to keep doing a podcast together.
Yeah. And we just keep playing it back over and over and over. That's not true. We have you now, so we don't have to listen to ourselves talk anymore. So, all right. So my 10x10. So this was, to recap what a 10x10 is, it is you choose 10 games that you're going to play 10 times over the year. And we thought this was an interesting concept, so we talked about it. And then I listed some games that I thought would be interesting to play 10 times over a year. And Kitty did not list any games.
I'm smarter than that.
We are. We did.
No, we're not revisiting what I didn't do this year.
We did mention two games of yours that you were going to put on your list that are on my list. And we'll see how that played out as well. Mm-hmm. So, not to spend too much time on this, but just to give those who are interested, the first one that was on my list was Rising Sun. I mentioned that this was a three-player game, so it's going to be a little hard to get to the table. Turned out it was a little hard to get to the table. I think I got two additional plays in, so did not come anywhere close to 10 plays of Rising Sun, which makes me sad because I really like this game.
The next one's the one I'm sad about.
Yeah, which was?
Grim Forest.
Yeah, I really expected to play this one a lot more.
We even talked about playing with my parents, yeah. But we just never got it to the table.
Well, so we were doing kind of a couch to 5K with your parents, and I was hoping that this would be kind of like the 5K game.
Sure.
Once we got here, we could keep playing this over and over and over. We never actually got to this point. So we ended up not playing this as nearly as often as I really wanted to. So it's still in my collection. I still plan to play it. But it did not get any additional plays. The next one, though, definitely made it. Shadespire. At the time, I'd played it maybe once or twice. And since then, Sydney and I joined a league that we are now playing 2 to 3 games a week for the last 8.5, 10 weeks or so. Between 8 and 10 weeks, there's a couple of bye weeks in there. So we've played, just in the last 2 months, probably 20 plus games of this.
And you've painted multiple factions.
Which is fun, because like if I'm playing the game, it's like, oh, I have a reason to paint it. So this game, like we were just talking about it on the way over, about like, well, I kind of want to do an episode on strategy and tactics and the difference between it and what games are more strategic and what games are more tactical. Yeah, it'll be an entire
I'm definition. Into that episode.
It was a very definition-heavy conversation.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's going to be a very definition-heavy.
Are we going to bring in Spencer? You know, Spencer and definitions.
Actually, we could bring in Spencer, too.
He would love that.
I like it. So this is what Shadespire does. So Shadespire is a Warhammer game, and it's more of a board game than a tabletop miniatures game, but it has the feel of a tabletop miniatures game. But there's no rulers or anything like that. You're moving around on a hex. You're playing cards from a deck that you constructed. And you have 12 turns. Like I said, 12 activations throughout the entire game.
Three rounds.
So 4 activations per round. And whoever has the most glory at the end of the game wins. In our league, we play best 2 of 3. So we'll play 2 games. And if we have, you know, each person 1 game, we'll play a 3rd one. And there's some tiebreaker rules when that happens, which you actually, your last game, you won with the tiebreaker.
Yeah, rule. We weren't keeping count of how much glory in the first game, but thankfully I won by enough glory that we didn't need to remember the exact number.
Yeah, so the tiebreaker in this is you just count up all the points, and whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. So if you cross all of them, if there's a tiebreaker. But this game can end in a tie, and it's not even that uncommon that it ends in a tie.
Really?
Yeah, because the game is over after 12 turns, and then you just see how much glory you got. And a typical glory range will be from like 9 or 10 to 20 at the max. So it's a relatively small range of points, so you can tie. But we had a really, really good time playing that. All right, Katie, this is the next one that was going to be on your list.
Pandemic Legacy Season 2.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I really enjoyed it, but at the same time, I don't think it was quite as engaging to me as Season 1 was. So, it was easier to maybe say, let's put this aside. And I will say that we did succeed in playing a lot of plays of a legacy game because I think Betrayal Legacy really kind of took this place over.
Sure. Well,
we played six games of that in the past 4 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah. So I think we've gotten six plays we've gotten so far? So if we count our season two of Pandemic plus our season one Betrayal, that makes, I think, 9 or 10 plays.
There you go.
So I'm going to count that.
Yeah. We can make our own rules. I think that's totally fine.
We subbed it in.
Yep. All right. So Arcadia Quest is the next one on the list. And I'm counting this as successful. We finished up a campaign that we had started with our friend Paul. And then we started another campaign with him and played that through. I got Arcadia Quest Pets. I have not Pets. Yeah, we played
Pets. Dragons? But,
Riders is the one I was thinking of. Mounts? Yep. Yeah, the mountain one. So it's Arcadia Quest Riders. I have not yet played that, but that will be this year. It's on the short list to get to the table. So Arcadia Quest, check. Next one, Dice Throne. I really wanted to get this to the table more. We played probably 4 or 5 times, didn't quite get to 10. And we ended up playing this a lot of times, like just going to conventions, and they had it. So it was like, oh, yeah, let's play it. We haven't played my copy. I think we've played my copy 2 or 3 times. But coincidentally, yesterday, I think, no, 2 days ago, we got a Dice Throne Season 2 in play.
All the more reason to play it.
Yep. This Dice Throne Season 2 looks awesome. Like the box is amazing. I got the special Kickstarter upgraded box and all that stuff, but the box is amazing. The characters are like really cool and interesting. The cards are like art on everything. So this one we will get to. It's just not going to be in the next
24 hours.
24 hours, yeah. Not even that. We have 10 hours.
Yeah, there you go.
We could do it, though. We could do it. All right, Kitty, I'm going to get this next fail to you again.
Near and Far. It came to my house. We played it once. Spencer was not a huge fan of it, and that was it.
That'll do it.
Yeah. We played it once.
I really want to keep playing this. This is another... It's campaign stylist, but it's not legacy.
Storytelling.
It's a storytelling game, but with a continuous story. So you can play it like 10 times, and it tells the story throughout. And the thing is, you can play it multiple times through, and you can take different paths and different decisions, and it'll tell a different story. Even if you play different characters, it'll tell you a different story. So there's a lot of play here, and it's a fun game.
We just need to ditch Spencer and Sydney and just
there you go.
We'll play it.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm thinking I have to come to for a lot of these games. Anything that says pandemic or...
We just need to find somewhere like in Arlington Heights where we can meet halfway, have dinner, play a game, go home.
That's not a bad idea.
Right?
So for those that are new, we all used to live in the same literal building right above each other. And now we've decided to move to all over the place in the suburbs of Chicago. So it takes us about 1 hour and 15 minutes to drive to each other's houses. But if we can find something that's in the middle, I can make a 40-minute commute.
There are game stores in Arlington Heights.
I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Next one was Homeworlds. And we don't even keep track of this. We've played so many games of this that it's...
You met your 10 by 10 while you were on an airplane that one time.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. And then on a train. So yeah, we were in Essen. We were playing Homeworlds. Homeworlds is a pyramid arcade game. So it's a very, very abstract game. It's kind of space chess. Is a neat way to think about it. But yeah, we'll bring this to pretty much anywhere because it doesn't require a board and it's like plastic pieces, hard plastic pieces. So they're indestructible for the most part.
It also has a much smaller footprint than I see what you've put in your parentheses here, which is KeyForge is kind of taking the place of this, at least while you're at home.
Yeah.
When you're like on a train, there's no way you can play KeyForge on a train. sure. gust of wind and everything is gone.
Yep. Or if the tables on the train are too small for your line of creatures.
Right. Yeah.
We have played Keyforge in a couple, like we've gone to a restaurant last night. I think it was last night.
Yeah.
And we were like, can we have that big table over there? I know it's just the two of us.
The two of us. But the food has to be over there. Our creatures have to be here.
Yep. So shout out to Jacob. He was our waiter who was really interested in what we were doing. And yeah, but Homeworlds is a great game. It is a game we will continue to play. It is one that we always have with us because it fits in your pocket, at least with the little container we have. And yeah. All right. The ninth one on the list is Arkham Horror LCG. When I mentioned this, I had not played this more than maybe once or twice by myself, just kind of playing around and experimenting with it. And then I actually sat down and played a full game
Took
with
the dive.
Other people. And this has become almost my favorite game.
Your latest obsession, yeah. Some would say.
Well, so it was my favorite game of the year until Keyforge. So it is in my top three of the year for certain. And I love this game. I wasn't a big Cthulhu fan. H.P. Lovecraft, not really my thing. But the mechanics to this game, the story to this game, the character development, the way the campaign works, like everything about this is just spot on. And I even mentioned in episode 79 that I was going to use the app to draw tokens because I thought the tokens were fiddly. Wow, was I wrong. The tokens are the most important part of this game. Reaching your hand into that bag, grabbing something and pulling it out, and knowing you have the fate in your fist, and you have to open your hand to see it, and you picked it. You didn't roll a die. This is the thing that you picked.
The suspense is real.
It is. It just makes it, like, I've mentioned many, many times where you can't be, like, scared from a board game. And I still think that's probably true, but you can have a lot of tension and suspense. And that this game just does that so, so well.
The way that I know that you're going to play a game multiple times is when we end up teaching it to other people at our game store. We ran a game for people locally just because he wanted to get it at our game store.
Yep. I want people to buy it at the game store so that they keep having it. Now, Tim will keep ordering it for me, like that's fine, but I want other people to play it. So we've actually started, it hasn't been started yet, but we were talking of having a full-on organized play of Arkham Horror LCG at the game store so people can play the campaigns as they come out, and then we will run those. So that was my ninth, and then my 10th, I actually left open. I didn't say anything, but it ended up being basically Kickstarter games. And thanks to our Kickstarter podcast, rest in peace, I did get through quite a few Kickstarter games because I have to play this so I can review it. And I don't know, maybe we'll stick the reviews. Maybe that'll be like some of the content we do.
Yeah, I think we might stick some reviews in somewhere. We have to. Maybe that would be a good patron content.
Yeah, because then we can just be as brutal as we want to be and only patrons are
going to hear. Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to hear me and Chris be actually mean, maybe go to Patreon. That would be
good. And if you have some ideas of content you would like, and I'm going to say from the beginning, streaming things is probably never going to be something that we put behind a paywall, because if we do that, we want everyone to see it. Also, it's a ton of work, so it's probably not something that we can easily do as bonus content. But anything that's podcastable, anything that we can talk about, that would be great. I'm thinking of taking, like, you know, the question stuff and throwing in a question and just have like a short 15-minute ramble where, you know, we just kind of go on and answer a single question. But we'll play around with it. But if you have any suggestions or ideas, shoot us an email. Let me know.
Ooh, I just had a really good idea, but I'm not going to say it on air because I want to give you the chance to veto it.
All right, deal. Veto, done. All right, now I almost want to press pause and find out what it is, but we won't. We will be suspenseful. Write it down so you don't forget because you do that. Okay, let's get into an actual topic here. That's sort of a topic. A
little bit.
This is the new year, like, we have to look back so that we can look forward.
Okay.
So that's how I'm justifying this, right? Okay. So this was something that sort of, this is Corey's fault for this episode. We had our questions episode and he wrote in, he's like, if you had to make a New Year's resolution about the gaming hobby, what would it be? Some restrictions. Let's steer away from the boring, typical buy less, play more stuff. Is there a game genre or a specific game that you don't like but wish you did that maybe you'd like to develop or taste for? Is there a grail game you were finally going to hunt down and get? A long timer on the shelf that you're finally going to break the shrink wrap on? Maybe a game you're going to resolve to never play again, so long as you shall live. Work on a game design? The possibilities are endless, but let's keep the grown-up financial responsibility stuff out of this. This is for fun.
I like the caveat.
Yes. Thank you, Corey, for absolving us from having to pretend like we're responsible humans.
So I think we all had thought of it a little bit about resolutions and such. Although I don't think I gave you guys this whole email.
You certainly did not. No, it would have. So. It gave me some ideas, so I'm going to hold on to those.
All right. Well, let's go to listener resolutions first. We have a few of them, and I think they are interesting and stuff that we can comment on. And then we will circle back with our resolutions and maybe even come up with some resolutions on the spot to answer some of these questions. All right. Let's see. These are kind of tricky because they're just kind of bullets. So let's go around, we'll read them, and we'll comment as necessary on them. So, Sydney, you are barely talking. Why don't you take the first one?
All right. Well, Jeremy says, play a game at my local game store once a week, which is a pretty great resolution, especially if you're not doing that already.
Yeah. And he had mentioned that he goes to the game store fairly often, so it shouldn't be a difficult one to do. But I find that I go to game stores fairly often, too, and up until recently, at the Gift of Game, and Gays were like, thanks, Tim, I rarely actually stuck around to play games unless I was the one running the game.
That's actually why we joined the Shadespire League in the first place, because we had gone in there a ton of times and not actually played a single game there. And then they started a league for a game we had even played a couple times, and we decided that was going to be our in. That was going to be our reason to play games there.
Yeah. Kitty, you have your game store down the street. Have you played games there yet?
I have not played games there yet. I have gone in there. I have introduced myself. I've browsed. I've bought things, but haven't played anything yet.
So is it going to be part of your resolutions to play a game?
It's sort of part of my resolutions.
All right.
I'm going to say revolutions at least once. I'm really sorry, everyone. Resolutions is a silly word, and I can't do it.
It's another revolution around the sun?
It's a revolution in changing what you've been doing. Viva la resistance, whatever. All right.
Don't try to make my misspeaks work.
Sean will save you. Go.
All right. Sean says he is going to start painting some of the 200 plus miniatures that are in his board game collection. He is probably going to look into attempting a 10x10 or some other by other number challenge, likely 5 plays of 10 to 15 games.
Yeah, so I like this one. I like probably maybe going to attempt revolution. So, yeah, I think an X-by-X is probably easier than a 10x10. X being I'm going to pick a certain number of games. I'm going to pick a certain number of times to play it. The 100x1 or 1x100. One game 100 times or 100 games one time. That's mega challenge. But we talked about a 10x5.
Yeah.
10 games, 5 each.
Yeah.
Usually you can do one.
I think that's way more doable.
I actually think from what we talked about earlier, we either met it or didn't even come close. So I don't know. Something in the middle like that didn't seem to happen.
Well, that's true. It was either we only got 2 or 3 plays in or we played like 20 games of it.
Yeah.
So maybe I kind of liked my category where Kickstarters.
Yep.
If I played a Kickstarter, it counted.
Maybe a category one.
Yeah. Well, that actually is coming up. So let's see. Actually, Sean does mention his non-gaming resolution is run more, spend less. he says he spends most of his money mostly on games. So that's sort of a gaming related thing. But you know, Corey says, let's not be responsible. This is a new year. But I agree with the get physically active thing. Everyone can do that. I would say that you should do this every quarter.
What, every quarter?
Get more, like, make a resolution to get active.
Everyone says like, oh, New Year's resolutions, I'm going to do it. And then it's like about 3-4 months later that you're like, never mind. So you need to like set a like March resolutions reminder in your phone. Like, hey, we're doing this again.
Every
remember?
Season.
Yeah. Actually, season's a great one. You know, it's like, it's fall. Here's my spring resolution. So we have a few of those on here too. But, you know, your spring, your summer, your fall, your winter resolutions. I think that's kind of a better way to go because you can
tie it to something.
Yourself. Yeah. So... All right, JB says he wants to establish a one-in, one-out policy for buying games. Whoa. Expansions don't count, though. So games can grow in size on the shelf, but you can't bring a new game in unless you get rid of a game at the same time. This is very responsible, and I think this is actually not a bad idea. Once you hit 100 episodes, or 100 episodes, 100 games. Yeah, 100 episodes. Every episode we do, we delete one in the past, randomly, whatever one we just don't like. And then he also wants to look for a more regular gaming group. And my advice for this is form the gaming group. So you have to have a seed. You have to have someone in the middle that pulls that together. And if you want that solid gaming group, just be that seed and it'll happen, you know.
I think it helps too if you have like one or two people you know are going to be really good, you can count on them people, and then like two or three people where it's like maybes. So if you always have at least three people and sometimes five people, then you can always play like games of different player counts. If you're always trying to be like, I'm going to get the exact same four people together every time, that can be kind of tricky. So I say give yourself some flexibility and like have like six or seven people that you try to rotate through a regular gaming group. And maybe you'll find the people who are really into it, who are going to become more dedicated and make that real good game group.
Yeah, I have found also that naming the game you want to play really, really helps. If I say, hey, we're going to get together to play games, I'll get a lot of wishy-washy answers or, you know, responses. But in fairness, it was a wishy-washy request. If I say, hey, we're going to get together to play Viticulture, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm in. I'll do that.
I want
to
play
that. Or you'll hear enough people say no that you'll pick a different game and then more people will say yes.
Yep. So, and if only one person says yes, it's like, oh, I would play Viticulture. It's like, okay, well, it's just the two of us. Keyforge instead? Yeah. So there's always the fallback, Keyforge. All right. I'm going to guess at this name. I think it's Cyan.
I was going to say Cyan.
Yeah, Cyan's the color.
All right. It could be Cyan. I don't know because it's a unique spelling for a first name, but it could be like I would say it's Cyan if it was a crayon.
There you go.
All right. Now that we've called our listener a crayon.
Sorry about that. It's a unique name and I like it.
We do like it.
We're just terrible.
Email us and tell us we messed it up.
Yeah.
Please.
But since they have 15 Kickstarters that should arrive within the next year, they're limiting themselves to six new games next year. I think that's six new Kickstarters. since it was mentioned that three Kickstarters were already on the radar. But I think that's a good one, too. I think that'll be similar. Now that we're not doing a weekly Kickstarter episode, I'm probably not going to be backing a Kickstarter a week anymore just because we are getting a lot of Kickstarters in.
You'll be getting them for a long time to come.
Yeah, they're starting to pile up. All right, next one.
All right, Court Marley. She says to continue to game with the kids and introduce them to as much new stuff as they are willing to take. So far, 54 different games with a three-year-old and 46 with her seven-year-old. Go three-year-old. Her husband is Cult of the Old, so she's using her kids for her Cult of the New tendencies. Sounds familiar. Also, look into a 100-by-1 challenge and a 52-game challenge, a game from a specific category for each week of the year.
Yeah, so I like this.
Yeah.
Because this is that category idea where it's like, you know, and the categories can, like, you can have more than one. I'm going to do, I don't know, a fantasy or a space game. You can say, okay, I'm going to do that six times throughout the year. But sure, just putting those categories together, and I'm certain you can probably Google this. Hey, give me 52 different game categories. It really broadens it because you're not stuck to a specific game. In fact, some games like span categories. So it's like, well, this will satisfy in week two's category and week six category. And I'm going to play Keyforge in both of them.
There you go. And her personal goal, after 12 years in the same house, decluttering. Kids, if you're listening, hide your favorite toys.
Yeah.
Or declutter your own things and then, you know, be like, oh, look, I'm better than you, Mom.
Yeah. But
that's then, always my favorite thing to do.
But the kids will be like, more room for more toys.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't know any seven-year-olds. I definitely don't know any three-year-olds that are willing to get rid of their toys. Seven-year-olds, I don't. Maybe Kitty was more of a classic organized. I'm going to put these on the shelf. This is where they belong.
I was never very organized as a child, but I blame Eve. My sister is the least organized person in this universe. And if she's listening right now, she's like, "Arr," but I'm sure she's not. But we've both grown into our organizational skills, but it was always her stuff. She is the queen of leaving laundry everywhere, and it kills me to this day. But I don't live with her anymore, so it's not my problem.
Yeah. Sydney, were you organized as a kid?
I wasn't very organized at all. I would actually lose toys in like that I would bring with me to conventions that my parents brought me to. And I remember like there was a story where one of the attendees found the toy and brought it back to my parents, and they had a whole thing where they like... They had told me that the toy had passed on, so they brought it back from the dead because it existed again.
That's one way to manipulate your kids. I like it. We're going to be great parents.
All right. Chris Anderson says, probably not another 10 by 10. He says he played 300 games this year, but only got to 3 of the planned 10 games to play 10 times this year. He did play 2 other games 10 times, but they were not from his list.
Yeah, I think this is... And honestly, one of my resolutions should be tracking my games played, but I just don't have that level of interest to track. So I just, the fact that you're tracking these games at all is a level of commitment that even I do not have. I'm just like, I want to play. But it's hard because when you're getting a lot of new stuff in here, because most of these games are unique if you think about it that way, right? You're just always playing new stuff. It's hard to get back to like older games.
So. Especially if you're resourcing these games from other places, like playing them at your game store, and they're not your game, so you're not playing them again, but you don't remember what it was, but you had fun.
Yep. And he's also on the bandwagon of Tai Chi and cleaning the basement, which is, you know, that's, you can do it. You have until the end of January. All these resolutions only work until the end of January, because that's when they all go away after that.
Of course.
That's when we all forget that we did this.
All right, let's see. Corey says he wants to play some unplayed games and plays more than once some games he's only played once. But his main goal is to eat better than he should. And I think that this is one of my favorite quotes. So here it goes. Also, time to flip the caloric equation in my life. Admittedly, I like how the extra weight makes my butt look in my jeans. But I don't model denim for a living. There are greater aspects of my health to consider.
That's amazing.
So I'm going to go with that.
Flip the caloric equation in my life. I'm totally using that phrase sometimes.
I love it. I love it. But I also think, yeah, playing the unplayed games, that will definitely be a thing that we're going to try to catch up on. So we'll see.
All right. I get Michael Ohl. He says he has his collection. He wants to get his collection under control.
No, he has it under control.
Oh, he has his collection under control. So aiming for a more typical resolution of losing 50 pounds. Wants to go to the company gym more often, but really focusing on the diet more so.
Yeah.
Lucky you have a company gym.
Yeah.
Well, and he also pointed out that it's not, even if he couldn't get to the gym, it's the eating that was the most important thing. And he's on a calorie counting diet at the moment, and it's working great. And I think that that is one thing that everyone who's trying to lose weight, which is not an uncommon thing in our hobby or any hobby really, that's not a sport.
Yeah.
Sport, yeah. But is people overemphasize how much exercise influences weight loss. It is a thing in influencing your overall health and energy level. But as far as weight loss is concerned, about 80 to 90% of it is in what you eat. Just going out and exercising, most people will gain weight because I run for a mile. Guess how many calories you've burned? You guys probably know.
What, like 80 or 100?
About 80 or 100. And how many of calories are in your typical Snickers bar?
240.
That you're rewarding yourself for running that mile. There we go.
Yep. I think Corey got it right. You should flip the caloric equation in your life.
Exactly. So just, you have to be careful when you throw in the exercise. Exercise is not a great way. It's not the main thing for losing weight.
I think if you want to be more active in your life, that's a really good way to do it. I think some people really focus on like exercises. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go work out. I'm going to lift weights. And they put so much pressure on it. One of my resolutions that I'm getting to early is I just want to take the dog for a walk more often.
Yep. Nice.
Just getting up and moving around and not like focusing on this is being exercise, but like I'm spending time with my pet and I'm going to get outside and be a little more active. And just adding lots of little things like that into my life seems so much easier than like, I'm going to hit the gym every day and I'm going to like look like a size 2 Victoria's Secret model or whatever it is. No.
Good for you. That's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have an Apple Watch and it has little circles on there that tells me my movement goals. And my movement goal is 500 extra movement calories a day. and I'm now at a 340-day streak. So, and it is mostly just going outside and walking. I walk about anywhere from 2 to 5 miles a day, and then I stand whenever possible.
It's kind of annoying.
It's really bad when you're playing a game and he's standing and he's looming over the board and it's like, oh, just sit down and play the game like a human.
When I'm at work in meetings, like I will literally just pace up and down the conference room because that's, I just like moving and I've gotten this habit of always standing and always moving. And at the first, it's exhausting and it's like, okay, I just want to sit down. But now I've gotten so used to it that when I am sitting, I'm just kind of like ready to bounce up and stand.
We've played so many games of Keyforge at our kitchen island just because it's tall enough for him to stand and play.
Yeah. It's a countertop. And then Sydney sits on a chair and she's tall enough where she can still see over the counter and I stand. So there are a lot of ways to do this and be more physically active than just going to the gym. So Michael, this is not really a commentary on your plan. I think your plan is great. It's just, this is what we do.
Yeah, we got distracted. All right.
Also, you're lucky that you have a gym at work.
Yeah. So Bonnie, after tracking last year's plays, she found 60% of her games got any plays. So she wants to buy some new shelves, purge some old games, so she can implement a two-in-one-out system to her game collection and keep things getting played.
Yeah, I like this two-in-one-out because it means you can double your game collection.
But still keep things moving.
Yes. It also means the pressure's not so totally on that, like, I can't buy this game because I don't have one to get rid of. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. Because, like, okay, I bought the first game. That's okay. I haven't bought two yet. Now, the second game, I have to pick something to go. Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay. So that's going to slow me down a little bit. And then, okay, I can get rid of this game. And now I have two games. And I like this one. All right. Henry wants to start his D&D campaign back up. I think this is a very admirable goal.
Yeah.
Yep. He said he played the Lost Mines of Phandalver and they finished that up and he just wasn't sure where to take it from there.
Nice. But
he and his group of three friends are going to start it up. So Henry, this is where you take all D&D campaigns, wherever the players want. And it'll be interesting to you and you won't get bored and you won't have to prep. You won't have to read a module. It's like, oh, I want to go check to see what that goblin guy who got away, where he went to and where he went off to. And then you just get to make it up as you go along and it's so much fun.
Yeah, that sounds crazy to me.
Yeah, well, I think it's great. Play to discover. maybe that's another behind the paywall thing. Now, see, that's the thing. I come up with all these things I really want to do that I don't really want to put behind a Patreon thing. So we're going to, anything that goes behind there will eventually get released to the public. It'll just be earlier behind the Patreon stuff. All right. Christopher Dong.
Going traditional with acquire fewer games, play the games he already has.
So here's the thing with this one. This is interesting because we oftentimes relate games to movies and books. And no one ever says this. No one ever says, I guess at the beginning you might have just said this, but no one ever says, I am going to read the books I already have and not acquire new books. Or I'm just going to keep watching the movies I already have and I'm not going to acquire new movies. Like, we don't do that, but we do that with games. And it's interesting. And I don't know if it's the same thing exactly, but I don't know.
So this is totally you and not me, because you've been trying to get me to watch all of the movies that you've seen that I haven't, whereas I'm happy to sit down and rewatch the Harry Potter movies, the Lord of the Rings, the Star Wars. It's totally cult of the new getting into other parts of your life.
Yeah, I suppose. What do you think, Kitty?
I'm a big fan of both watching what I have and rewatching old stuff in like a 50-50 mix. But we did have to stop buying new books until we had read the books that we had. And we had to go through and get rid of books that we were never going to read. We had bookshelves full of books that maybe somebody had given us as gifts or whatever it was. And we had to decide, like, I don't want to read this book and I'm never going to. And it's just like guilt sitting on my shelf and I could be putting a book here that I could. And it's really very similar to how I feel about my game collection.
I will agree with you completely. Because if I have books I mean to read and I just don't take them off the shelf, I should be, and I have done this to myself where it's like, no, I'm not going to buy any more books until I've read or gotten rid of the ones I haven't already looked at. So I take it all back. Christopher, this is a great idea. But enough about Christopher. Let's talk about Chris. My resolutions. So I have a few here. You guys have a few. We wrote them down, so it's not like a surprise. Although I haven't actually read yours because they don't seem that interesting to me when I have mine to look at.
Well, now that we've written them down, we have to stick to them.
Oh, right.
And we're saying them out loud where people will hear them.
Oh, this is a bad idea.
So let's hear yours, Chris. Go ahead.
I'm putting all of this behind the Patreon wall. All right. So we'll kind of go around. I have a handful of them, and I'm going to start with non-gaming ones first because there's two of them. And the first one, this is not a year-long resolution. I think that would be, well, it's probably something that everybody should do. It's inspired by Sydney because she does this pretty much all the time. And that is, for the entire month of January, the only liquids I'm going to consume are water.
Welcome to my life.
It seems like it'd be healthier for me. It's like no carbonated, caffeinated, artificially sweetened, no tea, no coffee, no alcoholic, no caffeinated, just water. And I expect the first few days to be miserable.
So miserable. I'm not doing this one.
But I think afterwards, I'll probably feel better. It sort of goes towards like getting just healthier in general, right?
Yeah.
You might even stick with it after a month.
If you get used to it, you never know.
Yeah, and I really do like water. Like, you know, we were talking earlier, Sydney and I, about how my family keeps bottles and jugs of water in the refrigerator. And she's like, why do you do that? You could just go to the tap and get that. I was like, no. Having like nice cold water in the refrigerator, like, just tastes so good at this like voided taste, but whatever water tastes like, I don't know. So
water definitely has a taste.
Oh, for sure.
And I know, and certain water has better taste than others. And I do agree that like the colder it is, the better the water taste is. Yes.
I'm totally the opposite. I will warm up my water. I will have plain warm water and it'll be delicious.
Yeah. So weird.
I'm not going to do warm water, but I'm going to do water for a month from January 1, actually approximately a month, January 1 to baby day. Because the hospital that we're doing the baby at.
The hospital where you're doing the baby. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Where the baby thing is happening.
Yeah. Where we're birthing that baby. What we're going to do there is they have like a champagne celebration dinner afterward. So that'll be my first non-water experience.
Hospital champagne.
I'm sure it'll be great.
It's going to be great. All right. So that's my first one. And then my other one that is, because I have six and you guys each only have three. So my other one is back to Weight Watchers. So I have done Weight Watchers most of this year, and I haven't actually quit, but the last 2 months, I haven't been going to the meetings on a regular basis. And when I go to Weight Watcher meetings, I actually do, at the very least, sustain my weight level. But when I don't go, I stop paying attention, the accountability kind of fades away, and it slowly slides away. Plus, I miss all my friends at the meeting, so that's going to be the second thing I'm starting in January, week one, which is this coming Thursday, back to Weight Watchers.
Just make them play games and they can be your new game group.
It's a lot of older ladies. But maybe. I mean, I could do
it. I bet they'd love patchwork.
Yeah, they probably would. Well, the thing is with the Weight Watchers app, it's all about gamification anyway.
It's true. Like,
totally.
You know, they might be great at it.
Yeah. Stay under your points. How can you optimize what you can eat? Like, it is a resource management game for sure.
Love it.
All right. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
All right.
So I taped some real quick bullet points here, but this one is be healthy. So
lame.
The specifics of this are I want to take the dog for walks more often. I'm going to try to get at least 2 walks a week while it's still cold outside, with a goal of more when the weather's nice. I want to eat more fruits and vegetables, and I want to drink less soda. Or the ways nice. That's what I'm calling being healthy to myself. Or.
Those are all healthy things.
Yeah.
So that is very Weight Watchers-y too, which is not Weight Watchers anymore. Now it's just WW, which is like wellness something or other, but that's just the rephrase that. But that's the thing. Just stay active. Fruits and vegetables are free. Mm-hmm. So eat as many of them as you want.
We are not sponsored by Weight Watchers.
We aren't, but we could be. But no, it really is like one of the things I just, you know, I mentioned I walk all the time and I love it. I love walking and just staying in motion.
Yeah, I'm going to try to hit all my steps.
Nice. Yes. Today's going to be tricky. I might walk
take
around,
a walk around
literally
the block.
Walk around the block just for the heck of it.
My dad is also doing Weight Watchers. He'll be joining us this evening, so you might be able to talk him into going with you.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, let's go get our steps in.
Yep.
All right, Sydney, do you have a non-gaming one?
Well, I have two, and I'm going to say them both, only because one of them is actually inspired by Josh, and one of them is inspired by Kitty. So Josh is actually super into the self-improvement, self-help kind of habit-forming things. And so I actually put on here, I want to start meditating more. I've done it once or twice. And usually when I'm in a yoga class, the last couple of minutes will end in like a 10-minute kind of thing. But I think that actually meditating for the sake of bringing out what that does for me will be a fun journey to go on. And
I could teach you how to do that. So I think I mentioned it before. I did Zen meditation for about a year and a half.
Wow.
So we would literally just sit in position. You put some pillows and stuff. You just sit for 1 hour.
Oof.
And 1 hour straight.
So if you don't want to do that, because that sounds insane, I recommend the Headspace app.
Yeah.
It starts you super easy, and I think it can be really intimidating to people to just like kind of jump in with no starting point. So it's a really good easing in place.
Yeah,
to do.
I saw that one. They have themed ones. And one of the themed ones that caught my eye was they have one for pregnancy.
Oh, yeah.
So that was actually on my list. But then the one that was inspired by you, Kitty, was in the questions episode. Someone asked you about books and you said you talked about rereading books. And I realized I also have books that I haven't reread that I love. And so I want to reread the Harry Potter series this year.
Excellent. I love rereading Harry Potter.
I will reread it with you. Are you talking about on words or?
Oh, I'm going to do Audible.
All right. Well, if you're going to do Audible, I'll do Audible as well. And then, because it's kind of fun to like be at the same place of the same books.
Oh, totally.
So Sydney will do this thing where she'll find this great series of books. And then she's listening to this. It's like, oh, my book's so good. So I'm like, what are you listening to? It's like, oh, it's this book here. I'm like looking at it like, why didn't you tell me about this 3 books ago when you started the series?
Yeah, but then he'll start it and then go way past me and double over how far I've read. And then now I'm behind him.
I have begun to listen to everything at 1.5. including podcasts. So
I sound like a chipmunk.
No, it actually does a really good job at leveling the voices out. It just seems like we're talking faster. And I remember this had to be like a year and a half or 2 years ago where someone's like, oh, I just listened to you at 1.5, so I wouldn't even be able to recognize you if I saw you in
person.
That's
so funny.
And since I've started doing that, when I put someone down to back to 1x speed, because Sydney might be listening or something, it feels like they're talking like this, and it's excruciating.
It kills me. I can't listen to it at 1.5, though. I like listening to it at normal speed, because mm-hmm. everyone sounds like humans.
Yep.
Well, get the Overcast. If you're out of an iPhone, get Overcast for your podcast listener, and it'll automatically speed through silences, and you will find you will save hours of your life every year at 1x speed simply because it cuts out all the silences that happen in podcasts and you don't even notice it's happening.
Huh. Well, that's how you read so much faster than or listen so much
on Audible,
faster than me.
On Audible, I have to do just a straight up speed up, but for podcasts, yeah, I set it to 1.5 speed and it's usually like a 1.6 or 1.7 net because it cuts out all the silences as well.
Nice.
It's nice.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that's right, your fun tip for the day.
What's your next one?
My next one. I spent 2 years ago, I backed 2 Kickstarters a week on average. Actually, probably 2.5 on average. Last year, I said, okay, I'm only doing 1 Kickstarter a week. That's it. 1 Kickstarter a week. This year, and I stuck to it for
you
the
did.
Most part.
And just all, about.
Like, except for expansions or things you made me back.
A couple expansions. but other than that, I stuck with it. This year, 10. 10 is the limit for the year.
10 total?
10 total Kickstarters for the year.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's less than 1 a month.
That's less than 1 a month. Now, we will be watching them. We'll be talking about Kickstarters. I will keep an eye on things.
Am I going to be Kickstarting more than you?
Maybe. Now, I'm going to put a little asterisk by it where if it's something small, like a $20 or $30 thing, I may count that as a half. But in general, I don't want to put a monetary number on it, but in general, I would say games range anywhere from $60 to $100 of like the range I'm looking at. So if it's like less than half that, it's going to be a half. So I might end up getting 11 or 12 if I got some cheap ones in there. But basically 10 normal priced games is what I'm aiming for this year. I have plenty of Kickstarters.
10 this month.
Yeah, this month.
That was nice misspeak.
I have plenty of Kickstarters that are going to come in over the next year where I'm not going to feel deprived. And apparently there's a baby and I guess you don't get to play as many games with babies and sort of depends. The first few weeks I figure will be all right. Maybe if we're not sleeping all the time.
It depends.
Yeah.
Depends on the baby. Some babies are sleepier than others. I would say not until like 7 months with player three, he started really taking like good naps and I could get a game or two in during that time. And now he takes like really good naps and he goes to bed at like 7:30 so I can like have people over after dinner and play a game and not have to worry about holding a sleeping baby the whole time.
Totally.
Well, then we'll have a lot of Kickstarters saved up. Let's see. I guess, yeah, let's go to Kitty, you do your next one.
All right. My next resolution is that I want to get back into a tabletop role-playing game of some kind.
All right.
I have a few different ways that I want to do this. I would like to GM a game for the first time ever.
Nice.
I want to do some organized play. I want to get myself out there and do maybe some Adventures League.
First circle to playing games at the game store.
Yeah. And then I also want to make you run your games more.
All right.
Yeah.
If someone says, hey, run this game, I'd be like, okay, I'll do it. But if I have to do all the organizing along with everything else that I do, it's a lot harder.
And Spencer's game, too.
Yeah, and Spencer's talking about, well, I wasn't going to, like, put him on my resolution, so I'm going to make him do it himself. But, yes, he's talking about doing at least a one-off of the new Vampire, the Masquerade. And we'll see how that goes. And I don't know. I'm not as excited about that system as I am about maybe dipping my toes back in Pathfinder, maybe doing some D&D, seeing which of those I like. Because I've been listening to this Pathfinder podcast that's, I love it, and I really enjoy it, and I actually really like playing with, like, the fiddly bits and all the rules and figuring it out, and Chris is saying that I just like it because I like this podcast, so I kind of want to play a little bit of both and see where I actually land.
Test it out.
Yeah, tell you what, if you run a Pathfinder game, I will gladly make a character that'll break all of your plans with
if you give me your Adventure Path books that I know are sitting there collecting dust on your shelves, I will totally do it.
Yeah, and I have all the PDFs for Pathfinder, too. Like, I have pretty much every PDF. You have all the
stuff, yeah.
And I have the Adventure Path stuff, although I would rather adapt the Adventure Path stuff to 5th edition, because it is just so much easier to play. Like, so much easier to play. I like the fiddly bits, too, but when you're running a game, the fiddly bits are the first thing that become unfun. And it's, ugh. No offense to you Pathfinder lovers out there, whatever. Try 5th edition, you'll know you won't go back. We're going to get a few emails about that, but I stand by it, darn it. All right, what's your next one, Sydney?
All right, so my gaming one is actually, in comparison to yours, I want to own my own collection of games. And this is not because you are going in the other direction. This is because in a two-gamer household, when we share everything, it's hard for me to lay claim to what I want and take responsibility for it. So, like, for example, Game of Thrones, you have been getting all of the cards. And so we're all up to date and we could update our decks and we could make these really cool combinations and put different houses together. But because you're the one getting them and you're the one taking responsibility for it, I'm not as excited or into creating my own decks because it's not top of mind. And so I think, like, with the Keyforge and giving me my own couple of, like, decks to, like, be responsible for, they're mine.
To backstory this real quick, for Christmas, I got her a case that holds cards and 4 Keyforge decks and some cases and some little boxes for them and some sleeves. I said, these are yours. These are not mine. These are yours.
And yes. It also helps that, like, because you and I, we go everywhere together. So, like, if we're going to a Keyforge tournament, then all of the stuff could be in the same case. And up till recently has been in the same case. And I haven't even needed to, like, bring my own little tokens because we would share. But now that I have my own, I feel all, like, connected to them and responsible for them. And I kind of want to, like, become really good with them. And so I feel like if I were to do that for, like, some of the other games that I love that we haven't gotten to the table in a while, Seventh Continent.
Yeah, because if it's somebody else's game, it feels like, oh, all these games are sort of Chris's thing. And so when we play a game, we're going to default to what Chris is doing. But I have my games. I want to get my games on the table. And I noticed this once we moved out of the same building. I took some of his games with me. He was like, I don't want these anymore. They came to my house.
I play them more. Totally. I have them. They're my games now. They're not Chris's games that I play. They're my games. And right. I get them out and I play them. And they're my thing now. And it does. It feels totally different. And I totally get where you're coming from.
Yeah, we could literally do an entire episode on this. And we might. Because the reason I got you your own Keyforge is because I knew I was getting into it faster and more intensely than you were, because you didn't have to invest any time. You would play it. I'd give you a deck and you'd mm-hmm. play it and you were totally fine with
it. But that. I wouldn't even remember the names of the ones I liked the best because they were just put back into your case.
Yep. And I felt like I was cheating you out of the opportunity to like the game the same way I liked it.
To become
it.
Addicted?
Well, just to have it. To have your own decks, right? As opposed to, oh, I'm just playing Chris's decks.
Sure.
Like, and I think that there's something to that. And I, maybe that happens more often than not, where if you have one person who's more into games in a house than the other, that person just takes responsibility for all those games. We've joked about it a lot. You know, Josh will say like, oh, I don't buy any games because I don't need to, because Chris does. And when Kitty and I lived in the same building, it was the same thing. It's like, my game collection is at Chris's apartment. But that it's different. It feels different. And when you're living in the same place, even if your significant other is into gaming, if you're the one that has that collection, it feels like you're borrowing something from them.
Yes.
Right? It's like having a CD collection where it's like, oh, these are my CDs. Well, when you used to have CDs.
Oh, you're so old.
Yeah. But whatever.
Do you have your cassettes, your 8-tracks?
Shush. I tell you. But I do think it's a valid point. And I think that I'm going to give you the top two shelves of the game room because I can't reach those anyway. If you don't know, Sydney is quite a bit taller than I am. So you can have those top two shelves
that and works
you can put
perfectly.
Whatever you want up there.
I like it. And I actually think we'll get back into Game of Thrones more, because I used to be in the, before they reset, I was into it a lot and I had a lot of like cards and I had my own decks. And I think like if we could do that now with the cards that we have, then I would feel much more into it if I had a deck that I loved.
Well, I just picked up the latest box set of Game of Thrones. So I have not opened it. I'm just going to give it to you. You can open it. You can organize it.
It's love it.
All yours.
Done.
That is a good one. And it is going on our list of future topics.
Future topics. Yeah, we could keep talking about this forever.
Yeah,
so.
We could. But we won't.
Let's get back to yours.
Mine is slightly related to this. I plan to play or purge all of my unplayed games. So I have a game room and it's great. And now it has a whole bunch of piles of games that are not only on the floor, but now on the game table, which is also great. And we have a downstairs, which has overflow places for games. And I need to, every once in a while, actually a few times now, I've cleaned out the game room and just put only the games I want to play on the shelves. But then new games keep coming in. I'm not buying them. It's just this whole Kickstarter thing again, that really futures. Past Chris was not paying attention to what future Chris really needed. So, yeah, I want to basically, by the end of the year, have the only games in the game room are games that we've played and that we like, or something that's arrived within the last couple of weeks. That's fine, too. But I just want to, let's just get rid of the stuff that we're not going to play. We have plenty of room. If we filled up the shelves, we have plenty of games on those shelves alone. We don't need to have a whole bunch of overflow stuff that we're never going to play. Plus, it makes me mad because I have all these miniature-based games that I really want to paint, and I never play them, so I never really get to the need of painting them. So I think if I played them more, I'd want to paint more, and that would be a good thing, too.
Totally.
All right, Kitty, you have one more. Nope, that was...
No, oh, I do. Yeah,
you do have one more.
I went backwards on my list. All right, so my last resolution is I want to game with new people. So I'm...
Hey, I'm going to take offense to that.
I'm not going to only game with new people, Chris. It is...
Okay, all right.
I'm branching out. I want to... So this is part of my... It's like a multifaceted one again, where I want to game more. I want to do more tournaments and organized play.
Nice.
And I want to like become the Chris to more people. So like I, especially now that like I'm getting my Kickstarters in, a lot of them are fulfilling. I'm getting these new games. I want to play them.
Sure.
I've been bringing them with me places. I was the one who brought Yo-Kai Septet and made everyone play it. And I want to do that with more groups of my friends. So I have my friend Megan, who might be listening. Hi, Megan. I want to get her to game with me more, and I want to get more people and like create a new game group that I think when you play with different people, you get different experiences. And especially as somebody who's the host of a podcast, who's putting themselves out as some sort of weird expert or something.
Self-proclaimed, but it still counts.
Yeah. Totally. I have a game degree now, I decided. Perfect. I give those out. If anyone wants one, email me. but if I, you know, I'm like out here talking about this stuff, I need to have more experiences with a variety of people. Because if you play with the same people over and over again, you don't get the same kinds of experiences in different ways.
Sure.
I like it. All right, so we're going to end this on... Sydney, you don't have another one, right?
No, I did two in the first one.
All right. So we're going to end this on kind of a combo thing. So this year we are... Well, Sydney and I are having a tiny little baby.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So I guess the resolution is make sure the baby survives to the end of the year, which is a solid resolution.
Oh, raise the baby.
Yeah.
So yes.
I think that's good. But this is also involving... more responsibility in convention going. Mm-hmm. So this last year, I went to at least a convention a month.
Oh, more than that.
Which was, well, at least that. I think I got a couple extra, and there was a couple months I had a little bit more. This year, we are going to pretty much pare that down to, we're going to go to Origins, we're going to go to Gen Con, and we're going to go to some local conventions.
We do have a ton of local ones, though, in Midwest.
Yeah. So we will also go to Gamehole Con. That's far enough down the road where we'd be fine with that. And we
you can see what it was like for me to go to these conventions. Yeah. You have like almost a future scope of like, yeah. Although if your kid is not as crazy as my kid, they might not be walking for Gamehole Con. And it will be super easy for you. You can just leave them in the stroller. My kid is crazy.
Yeah. And we also have a very ambitious grandmother
that
is willing to
very excited take
him for a few days, but that's kind of like, do we want to leave him for a few days? Like, that's, we don't know, because those emotions don't start forming until you have this tiny little being in front of you, and you're like, yep. Oh,
changes everything.
Yep. So that's sort of the big thing, is like in 2019,
taking a step back,
be a dad
for a while.
Yep. Yeah, for a while. I don't want to be a dad for a long time.
taking a step back from conventions for a while.
Oh, right. That one.
Yeah, once they get big enough that they want to, like, be involved and play the games, I'm excited for that point, because Player 3 is going to be a total nerd. He has no choice.
Yep.
And we're excited to bring him with us.
Yep. And, you know, our kids are all going to be growing up together.
They're going to be playing games together.
I'm so excited.
So I really expect to have, like, you know, 5 and 6 year old D&D sessions.
So excited.
They play D&D so well. It's like, literally, just roll this die, but tell me what you want to do, and just don't follow any rules. Just go with wherever they take that story, and you are going to be like, yeah.
And then once they hit like 15, 16, I'll teach them Pathfinder, and they'll be like, oh, this is so much better.
And then they'll be like, I hate you, Mom. You can do all this math. It's the worst. I want to play D&D 8th edition. It's so much better. And it's 15 years from now.
By the time they're 18, they'll be DMing at our local game store, and we won't even have to play with them.
Right.
Yeah. They'll just think life is all games.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, somehow it's not going to work out like that.
They're all going to be football players and cheerleaders.
Yeah. Right.
So we're going long, and we don't want to talk about those horrible ideas and thoughts. But I did promise that we would have some gift card winners. So these are small gift card winners. I just wanted to give something out to as many people as we could who gave us questions for last week's episode and resolutions for this week's episode. Also, patrons are automatically entered in all our contests, regardless of whether or not I'm allowed to list it on the thing or not. So we drew 4 people, and I actually now have a template on Google Sheets. So I just put in the names, and I go click, 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 and it says boom, 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 and it's all done. So it works great. So our first winner, and so I actually don't know who this is. This is also why it's a rule that you have to email me to claim your prize, because otherwise half the time I don't know who you are.
Yeah, but now you're going to have like 30 people saying, I'm that person.
Maybe. I haven't yet, but maybe. So first one claims it. That's a lie. Do not email me if you did not win. So the first person who won is Josh. Last name is not anonymous, but I'm assuming anonymous. He is, I'm from Lakewood on BGG. So Josh, just geek mail me so that way I know it's from I'm from Lakewood. And you have won a $25 gift card. Let me know if you want Cool Stuff Inc. or if you want Amazon, and I will make that happen. The next one
is Nate. and Red Shell on BGG.
And he emailed us, he put a question up on BGG. And then
Chris Anderson sent us a resolution. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. And then lastly, I should have left this one for you, Kitty. Lastly, Kitty will let you know.
Jesse Wolkowiak from Patreon.
Yep. So all of you, email us. Email us at feedback@tabletopgametalk.com and just put in I'm a winner on this subject so I can know. I'll keep an eye out for it. And then just let me know, Amazon or Cool Stuff Inc., and I'll get you a gift card out. Next week's episode is our feedback episode. That's going to cover a lot, I think. The last 4 or 5 episodes since we did our last. Yeah. So if you have feedback for any of our previous episodes, send them in. If you have some questions that you're just dying to get answered, you can send those in as well. If you have some resolutions that you want us to know about, or you don't like ours, or we've changed your life by recommending something, certainly send that in. And I think that's about it. This is Happy New Year, and this is the start of another 52 episodes of Tabletop Game Talk, because we've yet to miss a week.
That's right.
Don't jinx it. Knock on wood.
No, don't knock on wood. It makes very bad radio. All right. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook @TabletopGameTalkPodcast. Twitter is @TabletopGameTLK. Kitty is Lawful Good Mom. Josh is Josh's Blonde. I'm Game Master Chris. Sydney doesn't do Twitter. You can help us keep this podcast going by going to TabletopGameTalk.com/Patreon. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Or you can go to Patreon and search for Tabletop Game Talk. And the rest of this is all Kitty.
Tabletop Game Talk is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Thanks for listening, and remember, we love your feedback. So email us with comments or questions about today's topic at feedback@tabletopgametalk.com, and you'll be entered into, is this correct?
This is correct, yes.
A $50 gift card on a future feedback episode.
Finally, a huge thank you to our Patreons, Emil Diljam, George, Adam Harrison, the SGC, Thomas Achiretti, Samir Biswise, Jason Strong, Terrence Milner, Steven Seitz,
Michael Ohl, Brian Arnold, Sean B. Kelly, C. Marie, Rudy Liu, Benjamin Heimowitz, Jerry Huang, Stefan Phillips, Caleb O'Brien, Jennifer Engelbrecht, Justin Willard, Christopher Dong,
Jason Marks, Jeremy Fisher, David Radke, Nick Quickstra, David Sellers, Jason Rodney, Michael Yanikowski, Miles Clark, Cindy Lum, Phil Swartzel, Jordan Livingston, Chad Covey, Ann Reynolds, Eric Huffman, Adrian Dong,
Christopher Vincent, Nate Baz Plintham, Sean Peck, Eric Solander, Mike Smith, Kristen Meyer, Trevor Davis, Wesley Trailer, every single time, Tim Vernig, Chris Lowe, Joe Hoover, Timothy Gross, Glenn Cotter, and Jesse Wolkowiak. Until next week, keep playing games and having fun. All right. So did we talk about my Keyforge win last week too?
I don't know. Did we talk about
it? No, that was 2 weeks ago. But we should talk about the tournament that we played just 2 days ago.
Yes.
Which was great. So we had an 18-person Keyforge tournament.
It was awesome.
It was great.
Sealed deck.
Sealed deck. Kitty drove up from, where DG. You live. It was the Gift of Games in Grays Lake. I can't mention them enough. So 18 people, random things. How'd you guys do?
11th place?
13th?
Yeah.
You guys won? Left. Do you know who won?
No, wait.
It was that one guy.
Yeah, he was probably pretty arrogant and
pushy.
Yeah. He's like, I know the rule. All right, fine, I won. But, which was quite fun. So I went 4-0 in the first, because you would do, it's a Swiss type style. So we do 4-0, and that put me at the top, and then we did a 4-person playoff, another bracket where I had to play 2 more games. And I'm like, but wait, I already have the best record. Why didn't I win?
We just hung around and watched.
Yeah. So I played 6 games straight and I didn't lose any of them. And the deck I played, it was a very good deck, but I think it was kind of hard to play at times, but I had a lot of fun. There was a lot of close games. It wasn't a runaway match at all, I don't think.
Most of the games I played weren't runaways. They were close to the end.
Yep. Almost everything went down to it was whoever got this last key. Like, we were both in a position.
I think we've now set our record for our longest post-credit banter we've ever done.
That's true, because the last time we did this, I cut half of it out.